Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, I just want to thank God for my salvation here tonight. Praise Amen. The Lord. I thank God for saving me and for rescuing me. Praise the Lord. And I give God all the honor and all the glory. Amen. Because, you know, God saved, He saved my life. Amen. He saved my life. He delivered me from drugs, from alcohol, from, amen, a crazy lifestyle of sin. Come on, somebody. Amen. Don't leave me up here by myself. But He saved us. God saved us and He rescued us. Amen. And I want to thank God for my, amen, for my pastors, Pastor Francisco and Sister Sylvia. Praise the Lord, who, amen, have been great examples and models for me. Amen. In serving the Lord. And I thank God for them. Praise the Lord. Keep Pastor Francisco and Brother Irvin in your prayers. Amen. Amen. They're there in Panama. They're toiling. Amen. They're working the ground there in Panama. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so let's keep them in prayer that God will use them, that God will refresh in them and speak to them. Amen. And bring them back safely. Amen. Yes. Praise God. And so I thank God, amen, that we're just not a local vision. We don't have just a local vision, but we have a global vision. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so I thank God for my pastors. I thank God for my dad. Amen. My dad is, we've been serving the Lord together. Amen. In Victory Outreach for quite some time. Amen. Quite some time. Amen. He trailblazed. Amen. He went to the home first before I did. Amen. And he prayed me into the home. And he forgot to pray me out. Amen. He kind of left me in there. Amen. So praise the Lord. Amen. And been there directing the home. And this August will be 6 years. Amen. 6 years. Praise the Lord. Alongside with my back-to-back partner. Amen. My beautiful wife. Praise the Lord. I thank God for my beautiful wife. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. God is moving in the Victory Home. Amen. God is moving. Praise the Lord. Amen. And the men's and the women's home is the women's home in the house. It's the men's home in the house. Is the church in the house. Praise the Lord. Amen. So I thank God for this wonderful church of ours. Amen. Such a great family. Amen. How many know that we're family? Amen. We're family. Praise the Lord. And so here, God has put a word in my heart. And I just want to go ahead and share that with you. And building with purpose, amen. We see here in the verse in Psalms 127, it says, "Unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labor in vain." The builders labor in vain. Are there any builders in the house?
Yeah.
Amen. That you're trying to build. You're building something for your family. You're building a future. You're building the kingdom of God, amen. You're building, amen. I thank God, amen. We have a few builders in the home right now, amen.
Come on.
Praise the Lord. Before the builders were in the home, I was always had to be the builder, amen. Call me, you know, Josh the builder, amen. Sister Sylvia would always call me, amen. Hey, come do this, and now it's like I have a few guys over here. Come on, help me out. So I was able to, amen, to separate myself and to get into the Word of God, amen. But I love building, amen. I love working with my hands, swinging a hammer, turning a wrench, amen. And just something about it, amen. Building and getting, come on, all dirty, right? And amen. It's just something about building. It just, amen. It does something to me, amen. And so, I want to share with that, amen. And here, the Word of God reads in verse 1. It says, "Unless the Lord builds unless the Lord builds a house, the builders labor in vain." The biggest mistake people make in life is living it without the one who gave it to them. Or I'm going to say that again. It says, the biggest mistake people make in life is living it without the one who gave it to them. God is our creator, and He wants us to be involved, and He wants to be involved in our everyday life. God wants to be involved in your everyday life from the time that you wake up to the time that you go to bed. And even while you're asleep, amen, God is right there with you. Amen. Because the Word of God says that He will never leave you nor forsake you. He wants to be a part of your life. See, sometimes we ask God to guide us and direct us, but we don't want to get out of the driver's seat. Sometimes we're like, God, I need direction in my life. I need God, I need for you to guide me, and I need for you to go before me, and I need you to, amen, but you don't want to get out of the driver's seat. We put them in the back seat. And in a car seat at that. Imagine that. Some people, amen, they have God right there in the back seat, right there in the car seat, strapped in. They're like, as long as God is with me. But he's there, and he's in the back seat, and he wants to be in the driver's seat. How many know that we got to put God in the driver's seat? That God has to guide you and direct you, amen? You got to give God full control. You got to give him full control of your life, amen? And so we know that God is a God of action. He doesn't just point the way, but he leads the way. Amen. God is an example. God is a trailblazer. Amen. Jesus is a trailblazer. He's not telling us to do something that he had already done. Amen. Jesus is, he's been here. He's done it. Amen. He's faced that same temptation that you went through. Amen. He hit the streets. Come on. And he didn't even, amen, he didn't even have a car. Come on, somebody. He had a camel, a donkey. Amen. And he got on, he was there, and he didn't have Nike. Air Force Ones and Cortez's, amen. But he had his jangles. Come on, somebody. He had his Jesus sandals, and he was there and in the streets. Jesus is a great example.
That's right.
Jesus, amen. He's one, amen, that he's a God of action. Even though the world was made through him and for him, people have their own agenda. Psalm 100 verse 3 says, know that the Lord is God, it is he who made us. We are his, we are his people, the sheep of his pasture. I thank God that he's our creator, amen?
Amen.
I thank God that we don't believe here in Victory Outreach that, amen, that we were evolved, come on, from a little insect, or we didn't evolve from a monkey, come on, somebody. Or we don't believe, amen, that, you know, that we just got here on our own because of a big bang. And if we did get here because of a big bang, it's because God had a big gun.
Hello!
Amen?
God caused that big bang, amen? We believe that God is our creator.
Right,
we live in the, and we have to understand that, you know, just, you know, we're Christians and we believe in what we believe, amen? But we live in a world with people who don't believe what we believe. So they do what they want to do, and they do their own thing.
That's right.
They do their own thing. And we see that here, obviously, in Psalm 127, you know, it says, unless the Lord builds a house, the builders, they labor in vain. So they were building something, and they were doing it without God's consent, or they were doing it without God in the midst of it. They were building, amen, and it's like the world today. They you know, they build their own thing, they do their own thing, and they don't want God involved in it. Matter of fact, they try to get away from God, or amen, they just want to do their own thing. But I thank God that here in Victory Outreach Church of Grand Prairie, amen, that we know, amen, how to get a hold of God. We know how to get in the Word of God, and we know that the Word of God, that is the instruction of God, amen, that if we need directions, come on, that we go to the Word. We're doing this with God, amen. We believe, amen, here in Victory Outreach, we believe in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We believe in the Bible, that the Word of God, amen, is not only the Word of God, but it is the living Word of God. For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any double-edged sword. We understand that there are unbelievers and even those that oppose the truth. We believe that. We know that that's a given because the Word teaches us that. That these people have something, and you gotta understand something, that they're out there and they're doing their own thing, amen, and they might not want God in the mix, they might not want God, amen, all up in their family and all up in their plans and all up in everything that is going on, but how many know that we, as the people of God, amen, we can't try to build something without Him. We can't 3-5 it, amen, we can't, amen, lean on our own understanding and try to build a ministry and build a family and build, amen, a future without God.
That's right.
We gotta let God do it.
Come on, that's right.
But those those that are out there and they're doing their own thing, the unbeliever, the atheist, the ones that are serving false gods, amen, we know that they got something coming.
Amen.
And I thank God that word, amen, on the other end of that stick.
That's right. Thank you, Lord.
Because the word of God says, amen, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, 6 through 10, it says, God is just. He will pay back trouble to those who trouble you and give relief to you who are troubled and to us as well. This will happen when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven in blazing fire with his powerful angels. He will punish those who do not know God and do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. They will be punished with everlasting destruction and shut out from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his might. On that day, he comes to be glorified in his holy people and to be marveled at among all those who have believed. This includes you. Tell your neighbor, this includes you. Because you believed our testimony to you. That God is a God. He's a just God. I mean, that's like what Pastor was preaching the other Friday when he was saying that, you know, that God is a, you know, he loves unconditionally. I mean, he doesn't love a person that is involved in sin. That, you know, he loves that person. Amen. But he hates, and we know that he hates a sin. He loves a sinner. He hates a sin. Amen. But also we have to understand that there, the Bible does declare that there are enemies of God.
That's right.
And so we know that those that, you know, have their own agenda, amen, that they got something coming, amen. But I thank God, come on somebody, that we don't fall in that category. We don't fall in that category, amen, because we, amen, we opened up our hearts to Jesus. We allowed him to come in, amen, and every day we try to serve him diligently, amen. Don't you want to serve God the rest of your life, amen, and give him all that you got? See, we have to understand that we don't fall in that category. God saved us from the pits of hell, from the lake of fire. He snatched us from the fire, and now we are on our way to heaven, shouting victory. Back, amen. See, here in verse 1, we see that the psalmist writing the words, he was writing words of wisdom here to King Solomon. Amen. To King Solomon, we know that King Solomon, that he was chosen to build the temple for the Lord. That in the Old Testament, that Solomon, that he was to build a temple for the Lord. Because before the temple, you know, God, the Ark of the Covenant was just kept in a tent. It was kept in the tent, and then they would carry it around. Amen. But, you know, but David, Solomon's dad, he had a vision one day. He had a dream. He had a plan and a desire, amen, to build a temple for God.
Amen.
Does anybody still have dreams today? Do you still have a vision? Amen. Do you have a plan, a desire? We see here that was David's desire, but God said, no, you will not do it. Your son will do it. Your son will do it. And I can imagine that God said to David, to King David, you need to stay focused on building my kingdom. Is anybody building the kingdom of God? Are you advancing the kingdom of God? And so you can imagine the conversation that was taking place here. David had the desire. David had the vision. King David wanted to do that, amen, for God. But God said, no, don't worry. Amen. I'm going to take care of this. Your son will build it. And then you just stay focused where I have you at right now. You stay focused in being the king. You stay focused, amen, in shepherding my people. You stay focused building this kingdom. And your son will do it. I can imagine what was taking place. Take care. See, God said, take care of my business, David, with joy in your heart and a smile on your face, and I will take care of your business. That's how we got to take care of God's business. We got to take care of God's business, amen, which is what? Which is reaching the world, which is saving souls, which is building right here, Victory Outreach Grand Prairie, amen. One brick at a time, that we just got to continue, amen, to put one foot in front of the other, that we got to continue to swing that hammer, that we got to continue to fill up these empty seats right here, that we got to continue to go to the streets, the highways, and the byways, that we gotta raise up some more leaders here in Victory Outreach, that we need to raise up some more life group teachers and preachers, amen, that we need some more young people from the gang, God's anointed now generation, to rise up and go to the UTC and go to the MTC and to answer the call of God upon their life. We got to build the kingdom of God.
That's right.
I was always taught this, that we got to stay faithful to our corner. We got to stay faithful to where God put you at. You got to be faithful right there in the men's home, in the women's home. That you got to be faithful in your life group. That you got to be faithful, come on, wherever God has you, you got to be faithful and continue to build. We're building something here.
Amen.
See, God needs people who will put their blueprints down and pick his up.
Come on.
I said, God needs some people that are willing to put their blueprints down and pick his up. Have you picked up God's blueprints yet? The blueprints to building his kingdom. Because here at Victory Outreach, we're building with a purpose. See, too many people are too busy building their dreams and their empires and their kingdoms and their families and their futures and putting gods on the back burner. Silly rabbit. Silly disciple. Silly person. Don't you know that it was God's plan that got you saved in the first place? That it was God's plan that got you where you're at today? That it was God's plan that got you cleaned up? That got you delivered? That got you set free? That got you, come on, in the home? That when you were out there under a bridge, you were out there lost and bound, you had a needle in your arm, my friend, you were depressed, you were down and out, but God's plan! God's plan! Woo! Got you where you were at right now. Dressed in your right mind. Got you right where you're at. That was God's plan. That wasn't your plan. Jesus told the disciples, he says, you didn't choose me, I chose you. Come on, somebody. That's what Jesus said.
Come on.
God chose you. God handpicked you. Amen. You were chosen by God. Out of all your family, out of all your friends, out of all the people in the world, the billions of people, God chose you. God chose the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. God chose the lonely things of the world. Come on, somebody. Tell your neighbor, God chose me. To build for him. See, some people, that we got it all. See, we get saved and we get cleaned up and we get delivered and you look all nice now. Come on, you even take showers and you brush your teeth now. Amen. You're even in the house of God on a Friday night. Who would have ever thought? But yet, you know, sometimes, you know, we get here and we're like, yeah, man, I'm good. And we'll come for a little while. And then it's like, you know, you're all cleaned up, but you just kind of go back to your own plan. I'm good now, so God, your plan came through, but now I need to go and work on my plan a little bit. Now we got to stay focused on God's plan, because how many know that God's plan, amen, involves your plan? But you got to put God's plan first. See, is there anyone here that is grateful for the plan that God had before the foundations of this world to send his only begotten son, Jesus, to rescue people that were on their way to destruction? Yeah. I mean, that's the plan. Yeah. That is the master's plan to save souls.
Amen.
See, there's two types of people in this world. You got the builder or a wrecker. The builder or a wrecker. See, I'm going to go ahead and read you a poem I found, amen, and it reads like this. It says, as I watched them tear a building down, a gang of men in a busy town, with a ho-heave-ho and a lusty yell, they swung a beam and the side wall fell. I asked the foreman, are these men skilled? And the men you'd hire if you wanted to build. He gave a laugh and said, no, indeed, just common labor is all I need. I can easily wreck in a day or two what builders have taken years to do. And I thought to myself as I went my way, which of these roles have I tried to play? Am I a builder who works with care, measuring life by rule and square? Am I shaping my work to a well-made plan, patiently doing the best I can? Or am I a wrecker who walks to town content with the labor of tearing down? Oh Lord, let my life and my labors be that which will build for eternity.
Amen.
What are you? Are you focused on building the here and now? Are you focused, amen, on building your kingdom now, your empire now, your plan now? Are you building for eternity?
Come on.
We gotta be a people, amen, that we're, you know, man, we used to be people that we would go out there and we would destroy stuff. We were the wreckers. Right. Come on. If anybody was the wrecking crew, amen, they're sitting right here. Amen. If anybody was a part of the wrecking crew, amen, it was me. I led that wrecking crew. Amen. I was an individual that I was out there and I was destroying people's lives. I was out there and I was messing everything up. I was out there and I was just running amok.
Come on.
And so were you.
Amen.
Come on, somebody. We were out there. We were, man, everything we touched would fall apart. Come on, somebody.
Amen.
But thank God.
Come on.
Thank God. Oh, that when they see you coming, amen, they're not afraid. They don't start running no more. Amen. Because they think that you're gonna steal from them, that you're gonna beat them up. Come on, that you're gonna tear them down. Amen. But no, you're coming to build them up. You're coming to speak life. You're coming, amen, to give them hope. You're coming, amen, so you can pray for them. So that, come on now.
Preach it.
Huh? See, we're no longer wreckers, but we're builders. God has called you to build the kingdom of God. See, I thank God that I'm no longer a person that tears down, but I build up. See, what are you building? The here and now, that which can be here today and gone tomorrow? Are you storing up riches here on earth? Building your own bank account rather than your heavenly account?
Because
you could keep building that account. Come on, somebody. Man, I'm stacking chips. I'm stacking my bread. Huh? You got bread on top of bread that's molded and you're putting more bread on top of it. Come on now. Right? You just rolling. You got all their dough, all their cheddar. Come on now. But how many know that we as Christians, that we have an obligation to build, amen, the kingdom of God, that we don't just, amen, that the Bible says that we give, amen, that we store our riches in heaven.
Come on.
That we store our riches in heaven.
Amen.
That by investing in people, by investing in the things of God, by investing, amen, we're investing for our eternity, amen,
amen.
For an eternal purpose.
That's right.
See, God needs people who are building for eternity. Don't get me wrong. We build today so we can live tomorrow. If you're not letting God build your life, your family, your future, then your labor is in vain.
Uh-oh.
See, verse 1 says here, it says, unless the Lord builds a house, unless the Lord builds a house. And so we look at the scripture here and we might ask, well, you know, how does God build a house? How does God build a house if he's there, amen, if Jesus is sitting at the right hand of the Father in heaven? How does God, does he physically come down and does he, you know, pick up a hammer and does he start to build whatever it is that, you know, is being constructed? No, that's not how it happens. We know that. We know that we live a life of faith. Huh? Now, see, if God does that for you, then you come up here and you preach, please. I want what you got. Huh? See, you know, we must understand that You know, when God saved us, we became his hands and his feet. That we are the body of Christ. Right. Amen. That there you are. You are either the hand, you're the foot. Come on, you might be the toe. Amen. You might be the eye. You might, whatever you are, you're part of this body. Amen. And this, but the body of Christ, come on somebody, is called to build. Yeah. We're called to build. See, now, you know, last time I checked, you know, Jesus stopped swinging a hammer when he ascended into heaven.
Come on.
Amen. Yes. On Acts chapter 1, right? Jesus ascended into heaven and he's seated at the right hand of the Father. But we see, amen, there was a few disciples that were right there. They were right there with Jesus when he got when he ascended into heaven. Amen. And they stood there and they were just looking at the clouds. They were gazing at the clouds and they were just looking into the heavens and just right there, not doing much. Not doing, matter of fact, not doing anything. Huh? That's how some Christians are today. Huh? They're just looking into the sky, right? Twiddling their thumbs. And no, we, I'm gonna know that we gotta, amen, faith without works is dead. Huh? Jesus was a carpenter. He was a builder. Jesus was a carpenter. He was a builder. You put a hammer in his hands and he was going to go to town. Come on, somebody. Right? He's going to build you something. And doesn't the Bible say that we ought to be Christ alike? Amen. That we ought to follow Jesus and follow it and continue to build his legacy.
Right.
To build the what? The church. Huh?
Amen.
See, you know, you think that this church got here because Pastor and Sister Sylvia were gazing into the sky?
No.
You think that you think that we're right here, amen, on Main Street right here in Grand Prairie because, you know, we were just, you know, kumbaya around the fire, that, you know, that we were just hanging out singing, you know, men's home songs of, you know, I'm so glad Jesus set me free. I'm so glad Jesus set me free.
Hey.
I wish it was that easy. I wish I really did. I really do. Amen. No, but we got here today because of hard work, because of labor, amen, because we laid our life down when nobody else wanted to do it. Guess who did it, amen? When nobody else wanted to go to the streets, guess who was in the streets, amen? And you know what? I thank God because, amen, I wasn't there by myself, but there was a few people, amen, that there was a few laborers, and Pastor Francisco and Sister Sylvia, they weren't by themselves either, amen? They had a few good people that said, you know what? I'll go. And then if they don't want to go, I'll do it. If they don't want to run the home, I'll run the home. If they don't want to run the gang, I'll run the gang. Come on, somebody. Do we still have those people here today? Are you a church that you're willing to put your hands to the plow? Amen. That you're willing to put your blueprints down and pick up Jesus' blueprints for Victory Outreach Grand Prairie?
Come on.
Huh? See, we didn't get here just because, no, it took blood, sweat, and tears. Blood, sweat, and tears. Huh? And you know what? I thank God, amen, because I have a part of it. I can say, you know what, that chair that you're sitting in, come on, I probably bought it, amen.
Yeah.
Because I remember we picked up chair pledges one time.
Yeah.
Amen. We got a couple of chairs sitting out there, amen. I give towards this, amen. I give towards, I give my finances, I give my time, my talent, my treasure, and whatever I could possibly give, let me give it because I want to be a part of the building this legacy. I want to be a part. I want to be able to look back 20 years from now and look at the Victory Outreach Grand Prairie when it's 500, 600, 700 people, and I can say I remember when there was only 6 people there.
Come on.
I remember when I came to the gang the first time. I came out, it was just, you know, Rigo and Jeanette and Jose and Sister Sylvia and Pastor and their kids. And it was just me. I was like, oh wow, praise the Lord, amen. But look now.
Come on, man.
Look now. We got young people that are willing to lay down their life and go to another country. All that are serving, and now they're on the drums, they're on the piano, they're leading worship. there's a transition that's about to take place, amen, and the mantle's going to be handed down to them. Come on, somebody. I can't wait till Jose gets back. Come on. Come here, brother. Get in here. Let me show you how things are. All right. There's a transition. Amen. And I don't say that because I want to, oh man, I'm going to leave. I'm going to get out of here. No. I say that because I know that that has to happen.
Right.
That I can't just hog it all for myself and say, no, I don't want nobody else to run the home. No, it's time for other people to rise up. Amen. But that's only going to happen when you're willing to give it up. Come on, somebody. Amen. It took hard work to be where we're at today.
Huh?
It took sacrifice. Come on, say that word with me.
Sacrifice.
Say it without cringing.
Sacrifice.
Say it with a smile.
Sacrifice.
Huh? Endurance, giving, discipleship, hitting the streets,
amen,
dramas, going to conventions, hearing from God, laying our lives down so that others can have life. The problem is we get ahead of ourselves and we lean on our own understanding. We don't fast and we don't pray. Sometimes we want to do things, but we sometimes get ahead of ourselves. God was building. He was building your life. At the beginning, He was in control. You would sing that song all the time. Jesus, take the wheel. But then you're like, man, Jesus, give me that wheel back.
Right.
Just sit over there real quick. You don't even call him Jesus, you call him Jesus. Get over there. Jesus is like, what's going on? And we lean on our own understanding, and you try to drive your vehicle. You try to take control of your life. Amen. And then you just end up in the ditch that he pulled you out of. Driving under the influence of the flesh. See, that's why God gave us leadership. God gave us some pastors. God gave us some people who done been there and been through it. And come on, they cried, they fasted, they prayed. They went through that trial and they learned the mistake. They learned, amen. They say that the road to success is paved with mistakes, amen. You don't have to make that mistake because we did and we learned from it. And now we just want to teach you. Don't go that way because we know what's over there. Don't go this way because we've been down that way and it didn't work for us. So you need to go this way. We're like, man, I want to find out for my own self. You want to be a daredevil? You're going to end up like a devil. You're going to end up with the devil. See, God is, we got to understand this, that God is not going to do it for, he's not going to do it for you. Amen. That's why he gave us the blueprints, and we know that the blueprints is the word of God.
Amen.
His word, Bible, right?
Yes, yes.
Basic instructions before leaving earth.
Oh.
Basic instructions. I thank God it's not like the blueprints I gave Brother Art, man. I was like, wow, I don't even know what this is, right? There's all kinds of squares and circles and stuff. I was like, here, you read that. I don't know what that says. But I can read this one.
Hallelujah.
I understand this one. Huh? Basic instruction. See, it's like, you know, have you ever been to Walmart and you bought something?
Uh-oh.
Or you went to IKEA, right, and you got something, right? And you're like, oh, wow, I think I could build this. I could put this together. You open the box, right? You cut it open, and you're looking at the picture, and you're looking at the pieces, and you're looking, I can do this. Right? All you need is a screwdriver. You can do this, right? And then you grab the right. You grab the paper that comes in with it. And you're like, I can do this. Right? I got this. And then you try to put it together. And then it's like all leaning, right? You try to put something on it right there, and it slides right off. Right? See. Sometimes, you know, that's like, you know, that's how our life can be. Like that crooked shelf, right? All twackle, right? All messed up, all crooked. Huh? That's how our life could be because we don't read the instructions. As in our walk with God, you walk in, right? Like, got a little limp when you walk, amen. Huh? You're walking with God, and God's like, no, I got you. Look, just read this.
Yeah.
Read this. Follow the examples that are set before you.
Amen.
See, why is it all crooked? And sometimes we try to put it together, and it's all crooked, and then you have a bunch of bolts left over. Right? Oh, I don't need those. Look, it's standing, isn't it? Look, I can lean on it, right? You're leaning on it, right? I don't need those bolts. I need those screws. Those are extra ones. That's why our lives are crooked, and we're missing key elements and principles that hold us together.
Come on.
And we end up falling apart because we try to do it without His instructions.
Uh-oh.
You know what we call that in the home? Brother and sister. 3-5. They just happen to lean on their own understanding. Lean on sister lean. We ain't got no sister leans in the home, right? No brother leans. You've been delivered from the lean. Come on now. Hello. You're delivered. Set free. See, three areas we need to learn how to let God build. I'm gonna give you these three, and then I'll go ahead and we'll land the airplane, amen. There's a lot of turbulence right now. We're gonna bring it for landing. See, the first three areas is gonna be this. We have to learn how to let God build, amen, our relationships, our home, and our ministry. Our relationships, our home, and our ministry. See, we must let God build our relationships. I was always taught that if my relationship with God is in shambles, then so will my relationship with people.
Huh?
You think of the cross, right? You think of the cross. If your relationship here is good, is strong, is sturdy, your prayer life is good, your devotion life is on time, your work, man, you worship the Lord, you're A1 right there. Then that means that you'll be A1 right here. Across the board. Across the board. Right? And what is that? That's the symbol of what? The cross. Right? Your relationship with God is good, then your relationship with people is going to be good. See, we have to know. See, I've always taught the men in the home this. I've always taught the men and the women, you know, in the home this, or my disciples, a good way to gauge your spiritual growth. You want to know a good way to gauge your spiritual growth? Look at how you treat people. The way you treat others should reflect how God treats you. No matter whether they're a friend or foe, enemy or not. You know, because God has a lot of enemies. Jesus had a lot of enemies. They hung him on the cross. They spit on him. Amen. They whipped him. They ridiculed him. And did he curse him?
No.
Did he take revenge on him? Did he take vengeance on him? No. Huh? And so why should we?
Huh?
See, if you want to gauge your spiritual growth, look at how you treat people.
Uh-oh.
No matter who they are.
Amen.
See, our relationship, you know, it reflects, you know, the relationship that God has with you, that should reflect to other people.
Amen.
See, stop treating people the way that you think they should be treated.
Uh-oh.
And start treating them the way the Bible teaches us to. I guarantee that you have more people that want to be your friend. I guarantee that you'll have more people that want to be around you. I guarantee, amen, that, come on now, that you'll be considered an example.
Amen.
See, that's why we have to understand, even like leaders, right? Leaders with, you know, up and coming leaders or people within the church, you know, and you're in that stage of your life to where you're discipling people.
Right.
Right? If you don't change this way, if you don't let God teach you how, amen, to act with people, to have people skills, to have, come on, based upon the word of God. Oh, right. Amen. If you don't let God teach you, he has to teach you, because if not, and you're a part of the, and you're called to disciple people, you're not going to have nobody's going to be discipled by you.
Come on.
Huh? If you do, you know, disciple people and they stick around, huh? Then you're just going to teach them to be like you. That's why we got to change. Huh? Not only how we treat people, but who we hang out with. A relationship outside the church. Come on. You know, when you're at work or when you're whoever you're with, amen, we got to understand that our relationships, that we got to take care of our relationship. We got to guard our testimonies.
Amen.
We got to guard our testimonies. Amen. We got to understand this, that the word of God says, do not be yoked together with unbelievers. For what do righteousness and wickedness have in common? Or what fellowship can light have with darkness? Sometimes we got to learn how to cut some people off. It might hurt a little bit. Huh? And you might go through changes. You might go through withdrawals. Amen. If you do, go to the home. Amen. We got a bed for you. Amen. We'll lay hands on you. Amen. Right? It's okay. It's not going to feel good. It's not going to feel right. But it's the word. Unless you're strong enough, come on. Unless you've been around the cross and those people won't sway you, then don't get near them, because the Bible says don't be yoked together with them.
That's right.
The Bible also says in Psalm chapter 1, blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked.
Right.
Yeah. Don't sit in the seat of mockers. So we got to make sure that we work on that. We allow God to work on that. That we read the instructions, the word of God, and that we apply it to our life. If not, you're just going to continue to get in a wreck.
Uh-oh.
See, we must let God also build our homes.
Yeah.
Someone say, my house.
My house.
Say, my crib.
My crib.
You got to let God. You got to let God build your house. Build your home. We know God lives in this house.
Amen.
We know God lives in this house.
Amen.
Because the word says where two or three are gathered in his name, there he is in the midst.
Amen.
And my friend, I see more than two or three people here. I know that God is in the midst. I felt him during praise and worship. I felt the presence of God. Every time I come to church, I know that the presence of the Lord is here. He can fill him in the
atmosphere.
Come on now. Don't get me singing, amen. That's not my gift. Praise the Lord. Amen. We got to let God build our homes. We know that God's presence is here, but is he at your house? Is the presence of the Lord at your house? See, if we went to your house and we opened your fridge, are we going to find Bud Dumber? Are we going to find, come on, all that crazy stuff? Amen. Will we find cigarette butts everywhere? Amen. We, you know, and see, you have to understand this, that, you know, there ain't going to be a smoking section in heaven. And there definitely ain't one here. So there shouldn't be one at your house. There shouldn't be one in your car. There shouldn't be, come on, we know that, okay, maybe at your job there's one. But you don't have to go over there. Now I understand if you're a new believer and you might be struggling. Amen. You know what? God can deliver you.
Right.
God can set you free.
Right.
Why? How do I know? Because he did it for me.
Yeah.
Jesus did it for me. I was a smoker. I was a toker. I was a drinker. I was a snorter. I was a, come on, I was all of those.
Come on.
But God.
That's right. He delivered me.
Amen.
And if he did it for me, he can do it for you.
Right.
Huh? See, but you have to stand on the word, and you have to, and sometimes you might have a son or you might have a daughter, and you know, they might be, you know, an unbeliever, and, you know, that doesn't mean, you know, kick them out of your house. No, that just simply means be the example. You're in charge of the atmosphere. You're in charge of the environment of the home. You're in charge. Come on, you are the head and not the tail. You are above and not beneath. You are the authority, the spiritual authority in that house.
Come on.
Don't touch my radio. Put worship music on. Right. Not one of the men in the home or the women home trying to put some worldly music on in the house. I remember, they come into the home, right? They'd be driving the van, and then, I'd get in the van. We always leave it on, right? But what was it? 94.7? Right? I got you. Right, and then I got in the van, and then all of a sudden you're playing that other one, the
104.5.
Is that you? When you run the home, you learn how to get them. Hey, brother, can I borrow your lighter real quick? You gotta understand that you are the spiritual authority in that house, and you gotta be like Joshua, and you gotta say, but if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day who you will serve, whether the gods your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you are living, but as for me and my house, my crib, we will serve the Lord.
Yeah.
We're going to serve the Lord. Sometimes you got to tell yourself that.
Right.
You got to tell yourself. Right? What do you think you're going, self? Chill out, right? Reminds me of that guy. Jesus Christ. That's radical, amen? See, God has to be in your home. But we all... And not only that, God has to be in your relationships. God has to be in your home. Amen. Amen. But we also got to partner with God in building the ministry.
Amen.
I saved the best for last, in case you didn't know. I love this ministry. I love this ministry. I love it. I can't get enough of it.
Come on,
I just love the ministry of Victory Outreach. Because if it wasn't for Victory Outreach, I don't know where I would be. Amen. I don't know, at the age of 18 years old, when I was out there lost and bound, come on, stuck like Chuck. Amen. I needed a checkup from the neck up. Amen. I was all messed up.
Come on.
There was a place for me.
Come on.
There was a place for me. So I love this ministry. Amen. I'm in my right mind. I'm not in prison. Come on, somebody. I'm not doing all day in Pelican Bay. I'm not in the shoe program. Amen. I'm not. Because of a ministry. Because of God, yes. But God used this ministry. This was the ark that I got saved in. So like Pastor said the other night, I'm like Paul, I'm a bondservant. I'm a bondservant. I'm chained to the gospel. I'm chained to this ministry. I'm chained to my pastor. Amen. You wonder, hey man, I don't know, he must have took the chains off because he got away and went to Panama. But I'm chained to this pulpit.
Come on now.
I'm chained to 730 Tapley Street. I'm chained, amen, to all them fellas over there. I'm chained to, come on, the women's home and my wife over there. I ain't going nowhere. And neither should you. I'm chained,
amen.
I laid down my life. I'd be a fool, man, if I left Victory Outreach. I'd be a fool. God has given me, He has given me everything I could possibly need and everything I could possibly want. I got a beautiful wife that is down for the cause. Come on, so what other woman would go in the home, come on, with a like 10 other guys there. Come on, somebody run a men's home. What other woman would lay down her life and say, you know what? I'll quit my job and I'll partner with you. And wherever you go, I'm going to go. Whatever you do, I'm going to do. You want to take a city? I'll take a city with you. You want to be a missionary? Come on, let's pack our bags. I'll be a missionary. I got a down gang girl. Come on, somebody. She ain't a gang girl no more, man. She's a women's home director. God has blessed my life. My dad's serving God with me right here. I got a family. Come on, an extended family right here. I got you guys. I got the home. This is the best place for me. And I want to build, I want to build side by side with my pastors, as I call it the worship team. God is building a church that is going to be a base. We're going to be a launching pad. We're going to launch out couples, amen, that are going to go out. They're going to start churches and they're going to start works for the Lord. We're going to send out missionaries. Come on. We're going to send out evangelists and pastors, amen, with their wives. Come on, somebody. We're going to go to the four corners of the world and we're going to preach the gospel. Will you come with us? Will you come with us? Will you partner up with us? Will you lock arms with us? Like this. Lock arms. Lock arms. We're your family.
Amen.
When you didn't have one, when your family didn't want nothing to do with you, where'd you come? You came here. I said, well, man, I'll put up with your attitude for a little while. Because you're going to learn. You're going to learn today. If not today, you're going to learn tomorrow. If not tomorrow, then my God, I guess I just have to put up with it. Huh? What are some ways that we can let God build the ministry? God wants to build this ministry into a beautiful church.
Amen.
Beautiful church. I can see it already. These walls ain't going to be here too long. Amen. Those restrooms, they're going to be somewhere else. Amen. We're going to pack this place up. There's going to be 300 chairs in this place. Amen. There's going to be the whole front row right here. We're going to need another row. Amen. Because there's going to be nothing but rows. Licensed ministers all over the place with their wives. Come on. We're going to have two homes. Amen. We're going to have, amen. We're going to have two men's homes. We're going to have two women's homes. We're going to have a UTC home. We're going to work. God is going to do something special in this place. And God wants you to be a part of it. God wants you to be a part of it. So put down your blueprints. Put down your plans. Amen. Get that joker out of your back pocket. Amen. You're not going nowhere. You're going to serve God right here. VOGP for Vida. How are we going to do it? We got to trust Him. We got to trust God.
Man, that's right.
When the man of God, Pastor Francisco, and Sister Sylvia, the woman of God, when they get behind this pulpit and they begin to cast out vision and they begin to say, hey, we're going to make this change and we're going to make this transition and we're going to pick up this pledge and we're going to do this and we're going to start Kingdom Builders. Amen. And it's not that we have to partner with them and say, we're with you. We're with you like Jonathan Garber. We're with you heart and soul. Heart and soul. You, many of us here, we used to have soul ties. To some dirty things out there. Dirty relationships. And you used to be all tied up with them. You used to go with them everywhere. You used to go to the crack house. You used to go to the trap house. You used to go to the meth lab. You used to go, amen, to get in prison, jail. You would go with the people everywhere.
Come on.
So why won't you come with us? Because we're not leading you to destruction. We're leading you to everlasting life. The way that we let God build the ministry is that we back up our pastors. We got to back them up. We got to back them up. They need more people that are next to them that are here. That we can depend on you.
Amen.
Sister Sylvia, Pastor, they could depend on me. They could. I live three houses down. Come on. Right? They could throw a rock. With a smile on my face and joy on my heart, I'm there. It's been 7 years. In March, it's been 7 years that I've been with my pastor, that I've been backing them up, that I've been assisting them, that I've been following them, that I've been learning from them, that I've been right there with them, heart and soul. Amen. You want to get in the trench, let me get in first. Back them up. Back them up. If they ask you to be an usher, then be an usher. If we ask you to, man, go to the home and preach, and go to the home and preach. We ask you, come on, we need to go to the streets. Then go to the streets. We pick up a pledge and say, man, we're going to pick it up.
Come on.
Back them up. That's all we need. We need some more people. Graduate the home. Graduate the women's home. Gang, you need to rise up. You need to build that. You need to build that ministry. Brian, where are you at?
There he is.
Gang team, you need to raise up some soldiers, some warriors. Because the word says, it says this: children are a heritage from the Lord.
Amen.
Offspring, a reward from Him. Like arrows in the hands of a warrior are children born in one's youth. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. Pastor needs some more spiritual sons and daughters. Oh, because when you're a son, you're a spiritual son, a spiritual daughter. Ooh, you're in the quiver. I wanted to get a bow and arrow. I wanted to, but I was like, no, I could probably get away with it because Pastor's not here. I'm going to shoot it somewhere. The sister Sylvia looking at me sideways. What is he doing with that thing? I wanted to get a bow and arrow. We're going to shoot it though. Lift your hands to the Lord, amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you want to partner with us in building this ministry, I want you to come to these altars. If you're ready to lay down your blueprints and pick up God's blueprints, I want you to come to the altar and drop it. Drop that joker. Drop it. There ain't nothing out there for you anyways. We already know what's out there. There ain't nothing out there for you. But God has everything for you right here. It's in the house. Your wife is in the house. Your man of God is in the house. God is going to restore your family right here. God is going to bring your family right here to 630 West Main Street. God is going to do it right here. He's going to deliver you. He's going to set you free. He's going to heal your body. Graduate the home.
Jesus, your word, your name, your Father. God, we pray that you would build this house. God, build this house. Build this house. If you're here, and you want to give your life to Jesus, you know in your heart if you're right with God or not. I'm not going to make you raise your hand. I just want you to repeat this prayer after me. Just real simple. Just an invitation to allow God into your house. Before he could build your house, you have to let him in.
Amen.
God, let him in. Say, Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. And you died on the cross over 2,000 years ago for me. Forgive me of all my sins. Wash me. Make me whiter than snow. Thank you. In Jesus' name. Father, I pray right now, God. I pray for all those who made the altar call. God, those that are here that says, they say, God, Lord, that they're gonna answer the call of God to help our pastors build this church right here, God. Lord, some of them here, God, are called to go out. God, they're going to go out. They're going to get licensed as ministers, God. God, some of them, God, they're going to start a life group, God. God, some of them here, God, Lord, they're going to be disciples. They're going to be pillars, oh God. Lord, I pray for your church right now. God, do a work in their life, God. Lord, let them grow spiritually. God, Lord, I pray, God, right now that you would move in a mighty way, Lord God. Lord, we love you. We thank you. In the mighty name of Jesus, we all say
amen,
amen and amen. Come on, give the Lord some praise. We're going to sing the song of victory. Come on, don't be in a rush. We're just going to praise the Lord for a minute. Amen, are you ready to praise the Lord? Come on, we're just going to have a few seconds right here. Praise the Lord. Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, you are dismissed. Thank you for coming tonight.